All right, welcome back everyone to another episode of Time Out Talk. We're your host, Raphael Singer.
And Hunter Leon.
Hunter's back in Georgia, national champions back to back. How do you feel?
It's a good day to be a Bulldog. It was crazy last night. I mean, just absolutely demolition. And Athens was very loud. I could not sleep, but it's okay. First week of school, just a lot of stuff going on, crazy times, but I still had to get the Laker game in,
Definitely.
even with the football game going on. But it's nice to be back, and soon you'll be back as well.
Definitely, yeah. Real soon. Good to get back into the swing of things, but the NBA season's still chugging along, as you said, even when the national championship game, arguably an even bigger game, was happening. And that was Lakers Nuggets without LeBron or AD playing. What a match that was. I'm
Yeah,
kidding, obviously.
really. So
But
close.
let's jump right into the meat of this episode because we got a lot to get through. Let's start by talking about just some trade rumors around the NBA because we're nearing, one of the most exciting times in the NBA, and that's trade season as we get closer to the deadline. And there's a lot of names that are coming about. Some familiar faces and names that we hear pretty much every single trade deadline, it sounds like. And but some new ones as well that could really shake things up. So I'm just gonna name some of these names and you got to give me what you think about these players and where you think they might fit, and if you think they're going to be traded at all. So one guy that came up was Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, so let's start with Gary Trent. I think he will find a new home. I don't think the Raptors are the kind of team to blow it up fully. I don't think Masai Ujiri is that kind of leader for his team, but I do think they're the kind of team to constantly retool their roster when things aren't working well for them. And clearly their roster is not at a level where they can compete with the top of the East or even the middle of the East for that matter. They definitely need to do a lot of rearranging and finding a lot of value in guys such as Gary Trent Jr. Would really help them. And I mean, I'm not going to list all the teams that could use this guy. I mean, just prototypical 3-and-D, great energy, great athleticism. This is a guy that the team was talk or the world was talking about for the past 2, 3 years in those trade rumors. He got traded to Toronto. Let's say, was it 2 years ago now?
Yeah, it might
I
have
feel like it was
been.
too.
Yeah, it was in 2021 because that's the season that the Blazers got Norman Powell. Yeah, I think it was 2021.
So 2021, and I mean, he's done this job great, and he's only going to keep growing as a player because he's still very young. So any team that needs a 3-and-D wing could use him, which is like literally the entire league. So it's just a matter of who is willing to give up the biggest assets to get him. And I'm sure there's a massive market out there for him.
Yeah,
And all.
or sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I just don't think there's much more to add to it because I could list probably 10 teams who would want him.
For sure. And I think this is a recurring trend throughout the deadline is like every team is constantly lacking in 3-and-D wings. And so a guy like Gary Trent Jr., their value is really just like, undescribable. Like teams will be willing to give up a lot for him, especially as you said, he's a young player, still has a lot of room to grow and develop. And we've seen like so many bright moments from this guy. Like he really steps up in big moments. I think back to that game that me and you, Hunter, actually, we saw together. The end of the Bucks versus Raptors game where Gary Trent Jr. came up huge and hitting some big threes to send that game to overtime in an incredible comeback, even though the Raptors ended up losing that game. But I actually disagree with you. I think that this deadline we're going to see maybe the Raptors blow it up entirely. I think that Masai Ujiri is wise enough to know that, a core of Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, if you want to throw Gary Trent Jr. in there, Chris Boucher, guys like that, that's not gonna cut it at the top of the Eastern Conference, especially now that there's so much talent here with guys like KD and Embiid, Giannis. So I think that we could see a world in which a guy like Siakam gets moved, a guy like Fred VanVleet also gets shipped out, and the Raptors just try a complete retooling or even try tanking to get a guy like Victor Wembanyama in the draft. So I think that Gary Trent Jr., I agree with you. I think he's definitely gonna be moved, but I think I'm gonna go a step further and say like a lot of people in the Raptors might not be in a Raptors jersey, give it 2 months.
That's an interesting take. I just don't see Masai Ujiri as that type of the guy to blow it up entirely. I don't think he's been like that in his tenure as the GM of this team. But
I
we'll
just
see,
think,
things can change.
yeah, I mean, I just think the Raptors organization, They've always been a team that has, never been scared to sort of take bold risks. You think of them trading DeMar DeRozan. That seemed like a crazy move, especially for a rental, and Kawhi Leonard ended up paying out big time. Them trading away, the greatest Raptor of all time, Kyle Lowry. Yeah, so like
Kyle
the
Lowry, the greatest Raptor of all time.
I mean he is.
Ooh, that's an interesting take.
I'm saying he's not the greatest player to ever put on a Raptors uniform, but in terms of his career with the team, he's easily the
I
greatest.
would give it to DeMar over Kyle Lowry.
Because no, but the
If
thing
we're
is,
talking in that sense, but obviously the
the
best
Lowry
player to
won
play for
the
them is
ring
Vince Carter.
with them. No way, the Vince Carter. I would say Kawhi is the best player to ever put on a Raptors jersey.
Yeah, I mean, like Kawhi's the best player to play on the Raptors jersey, but I'm saying is like as a Raptor in a longer term period of time, you know what I mean?
All right, well, that's a conversation for
Anyway,
another
yeah,
day.
different time. But let's move on to the next player on this list in Bojan Bogdanovic.
Yeah, obviously he's playing for the Pistons right now. I don't expect him to stay on the Pistons. He's clearly a player that a lot of teams are going to want. Lights out shooter, great scorer as well that a lot of teams could use. So for sure I see him getting moved. And I see, the Pistons getting some young assets in return. This one just seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, so I don't think there's as big of a market for Bogdanovic as there is for Gary Trent Jr. just because he's not like a 3-and-D wing. He's more just like a pure scorer who's going to light it up off the bench or for your starting lineup, depending on what you need. Do you see like specific teams that might want Bogdanovic as opposed to like a Gary Trent Jr.?
I mean, yeah, the Lakers obviously have been a team in conversations for him. And I think that one seems a lot more reasonable because, Lakers can give out maybe. I think that the conversation surrounding Bogdanovich would have been whether that pick is going to be protected or not. And I think that a deal could be made for him if you include the pick. But right now, the trade market is really, really. And I just want to talk about trades more generally. Like, why haven't we seen any trades thus far this season? I think the trade market is really, really inflated because of that Rudy Gobert trade. I think teams are seeing, like, wow, like the Timberwolves gave up so much to get Rudy Gobert, and it really has not worked out at all. That was an absolute disaster of a trade in retrospect from the Timberwolves. And so teams are really reluctant to make moves because everybody's value is so artificially high. So I think as teams get more desperate and as we like get to the literally like the last minutes of the deadline, I think we're going to see a lot more deals being made. But that's why I think we haven't really seen too much action right now. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that inflation from that trade, that Rudy Gobert trade, definitely is a reason for that. But I think the largest reason is that there's a lot of teams who think they're in contention, regardless of if that's true or not. Like, there's a lot of teams, especially in the West right now, where there's so much parity. Like, top eight seeds are all, within a few games of each other. I think there's a lot of teams that think we have a real shot at this. And when you have, I don't know, 20 teams in the league looking to buy, and there's only 10 teams to sell, and five of those 10 teams aren't selling, or they're too young to sell, then you're only left with five teams looking to sell the 20 teams. That's just not, you're not going to have much movement if every team is trying to compete with one another, and they all think that what these other teams want is too expensive.
Yeah, no, I mean that's also a good point. And I think that teams that are selling don't really have too much to offer. Like you look at a team like the Hornets, right? They're a team for sure that's selling and gonna be looking to get some young assets in return. But what do they really have to offer? I mean, most of their guys are either like a core part of their team that they're not gonna trade, absolutely untouchable, like LaMelo Ball, or it's just like,
Bad contract
bad contracts, like Terry, you want to pick up Terry Rozier, like go for it.
for $20 million, or do you want to pick up Gordon Hayward for like $46 million? Like
Yeah,
those aren't contracts you're gonna touch,
definitely
so
not.
it's tough.
So I want to keep going, keep moving through this list. So this is a guy who's, I feel like, been in trade talks like permanently. I feel like he's like never not been in trade talks, and that's John Collins. Do you think this is the year he finally gets moved?
No.
No.
Reportedly, the Atlanta Hawks are seeking a trade package similar to the Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert trades.
Jesus Christ.
So they're looking for like five picks for a guy like John Collins, who I wouldn't even trade away my left nutsack for, to be honest with
Yeah,
you.
damn. He's not that. He's not a. You make him sound
No.
like he's a scrub. He's a good
No,
player.
he's not a scrub by any means, but this is a down year. His value is definitely lower. He's
Yep.
averaging, he's shown that he isn't progressing. Whatever the case may be for him, his percentages have gone down across the board. He's become an abysmal 3-point shooter. Just why do they think they can get as much value as a def 3-time defensive player of the year or a superstar in Donovan Mitchell? It baffles me that I don't see what the value that they see. But I like literally even just watching him, I'm even more mad because he made me lose money. I had him over on rebounds and he didn't rebound the
That's
ball. Like he only rebounded the ball
funny.
like 5 times. But no, for real though, John Collins, I don't see him being moved because I think the value they're asking for is just far more than what he's worth.
I think that, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I disagree though. I think that the Hawks are just setting the start of the negotiations high so that they can work downwards. I think that as we get closer to the deadline, as I was saying, I think that a team is gonna sort of bite on John Collins. And I think the Hawks do want to part ways. Clearly, what they have is not working. I think they're going to try to retool the roster slightly. And I think Collins is really the most obvious piece to move. I think that, you know, a team is going to say, like, hey, John Collins historically is a very good player. He's having a down year, yes, like, you know, terrible splits and like really shown some regression. But, you know, buy low, sell high. So we're gonna like take the chance on John Collins and hopefully he can just gain some new life in a new environment. And
Yeah,
so,
I was
yeah.
gonna say the t kind of teams that are gonna buy a bite on a guy like John Collins to me aren't the teams that would be buying this year. Like I think a team like the Hornets would maybe want to get a John Collins, like to pair with LaMelo Ball because they're missing that Miles Bridges situation. Like teams like that, like I don't really see a lot of contending teams thinking that John Collins is their missing piece. So that's where I struggle to see the connection.
Well, he might not be their missing piece, but I could see some teams like who maybe are not in contention but could be there maybe in a few years taking a couple swings on a guy like Collins. Like, for example, I don't know, I don't think I haven't thought about the fit too much. It's just a team that I thought. Sacramento, right? Like maybe they want to try out Sabonis and like Collins together and see how that would work. And they have some pieces to move, as well as some draft capital. So I think, you know, a team of that caliber, a team that's not quite there yet, but is building something in the future for the future could
What
make
would you
something
think, like a team
happen.
like Dallas, even maybe like one of
Yeah, I
those types?
mean, yeah, like definitely something of the
Okay.
sort. Speaking of Dallas, though, another guy in trade talks. And then I want to jump into the midseason report cards because I
Yeah.
think that we got a lot to get to. Tim Hardaway Jr. He's a guy who, you know, people were debating whether he was the second best player in the Mavericks. Or sorry, the third best player, that's Dorian Finney-Smith or, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie. What do you think of Tim Hardaway Jr.'s future in Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, I really do like Tim Hardaway Jr. I think he's been a great asset to them. But last year proved that they could do very well and go far without him. So I don't think it's a wrong move to look to see what their options are. I wouldn't be so quick to move him because I still do think he can be a good piece for them. But I think that if they can find an athletic big or a secondary ball handler to pair with Luka, I think those are the two things that the Mavs are missing. Is somebody to carry the ball. I'm just looking at Rafa. He's just laughing. Whenever I say ball, he laughs. It's just the
Yeah,
stupidest thing
because
ever.
I know what you're getting. I'm not even laughing at that. I'm
No,
just,
yeah.
I see what you're doing this time.
Yeah,
I'm
no, but like, no, when they're looking for a secondary ball handler. God
not.
damn it. Rafa's making me
I
laugh now. He's making me laugh now. But they're looking for a guy like Mike Conley, for example. He's not like a player in that realm that
Yeah.
they're looking at, but just guys who could take some of the load off of Luka. And then like a big, like, they had JaVale McGee, or I'm not sure if he's still on the roster right now, but
Yeah, but he barely
like
plays. He
yeah,
barely
like
plays.
a younger, a somebody who can actually play real minutes. Because right now their bigs are all pretty slow. Except Dwight Powell, who is a bit, has been great for them. But yeah, again, going back to Tim Hardaway Jr., I do think that he's a piece to possibly move, but I don't think that it should be like super urgent because they are doing pretty well in the standings this year.
Yeah, I mean they're sitting at number four right now, doing pretty decently. So I think there's no urgency in Dallas' side, but I think that they do realize that what they have right now, I don't think is enough. Like their ceiling is maybe like the conference finals again if they get like a really crazy run. But I think that, they realize that you can't take stars for granted in this league anymore. There's a lot of flexibility and power that the players have.
Yeah, don't want to
So
upset Luka for sure. You got to show that you are willing to make moves.
exactly. And so maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. is the piece to move. Maybe it's Dinwiddie. Who knows? But I think that we could be seeing some changes in Dallas.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good place to move on to the next kind of segment. Rafa was wanting to do this because we're at that point. It's mid-season. It's crazy to think about. We're almost at the halfway point of this NBA season. It feels like, we just started the season a little bit ago. But let's give out some report cards to every single team in the NBA. We can go through them pretty quickly. It doesn't have to be long. But I do like the idea of going through and just talking about how every team's doing at this point. Give some love to those teams that we maybe have ignored a little bit. So let's start. We're going to go in alphabetical order. We talked about it a little bit already because of John Collins. But the Atlanta Hawks, what do you give their grade for the NBA season on a scale of A to F?
I would give them like a B minus, honestly. I don't think they've had a terrible season. I mean, right now they're sitting at number nine, and they haven't been abysmal. They've always sort of been in that playoff play-in picture. But to think about a team that 2 years ago was a couple games out from the NBA Finals and had a really, really great story. I saw someone say like, a couple years ago they were playing like more than the sum of their parts. But now they're playing like less than some of their parts. Like you look at the names on this roster, Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, the list goes on. Like there's a lot of very, very quality players here, but it's just not working. And so I think that nine, like the ninth seed right now is disappointing, and I expect changes to be made. And also Trae Young had started the season pretty shaky, and they've had a bit of health issues. So overall, I would say it's not been horrible, but also hasn't been good either.
Yeah, I mean, I probably give the Hawks a lower grade than you do. I think I'm a little more down on them relative to where I thought they'd be this season. I'm giving the Hawks a C. I think, very, very, not very disappointing to the point where I'd give them like a failing grade, but they're by no means like the top of their class. They're like just barely floating above passing right now because I mean, with the idea of having DeJounte Murray and Trae Young being perfect complements to each other, and I thought they'd be at least a top six seed. That being under 500 for a team with two all-stars is unacceptable. I honestly feel that way about this Hawks team. The efficiency has not been there. The drama with Nate McMillan has just escalated things even more. Yeah, I think a C is the right place for me, and they could change throughout the season because they're still, halfway to play. But up to this point, I think just being 19-21, ninth in the Eastern Conference, poor efficiency, and a very solid roster. I mean, they have been missing Clint Capella, so I will give them some credit there. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the C.
Yeah, honestly, C is fair. I mean, I'm a little bit bigger on them because they're still sort of fighting for that playoff picture, but C is definitely valid.
Yeah.
Let's keep going to the Boston Celtics. What are you rating them?
I mean, just a plus. I mean, you can ask for more of the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They've been playing really well. Jason Tatum having an MVP level season. And that addition of Malcolm Brogdon, I know we've talked about this, but it's just flawless. I mean, he fits in so well. He just does everything that you need him to do on good efficiency, very few mistakes. And I just really like what I'm seeing out of them. And also, I do like that we've been seeing Grant Williams play pretty solid. And Robert Williams, sorry, I wasn't thinking Grant Williams. I meant to
Yeah,
say
I was like,
Robert
Grant Williams
Williams.
always been solid.
I meant to say Rob Williams. He's still been having his issues here and there, but he's been, healthier and he's looking good. Great anchor for them on the defensive end. So, just I can't say any more for this team. Just A
Yeah,
plus.
I mean, best record in the league, number one in the East. Definitely like playing incredibly, as you said, Tatum playing great. Jaylen Brown, also, I want to mention, having a career year, definitely going to be an
Yeah.
all-star. He's looked phenomenal. Also, I wanted to mention that this is all with a new coach, Joe Mazzulla, after the whole drama that went down with Ime Udoka, for them to really like just kind of brush that off and start the season, what was it, like 20, or they started the season red hot, and they've been slumping a little bit. Like, they definitely cooled off a bit, but still they've looked phenomenal the whole
Yeah.
season.
After that whole Ime Udoka incident, some people were saying, oh, they're gonna go down to like the sixth seed. It was like crazy, some of the things people were talking about. So very impressive for them. Next
Certainly.
team, let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets.
I'm going to give the Brooklyn Nets a B plus in the season so far because I think, they started the season slow. And unlike the Celtics, I think in the beginning of the season, a lot of the drama surrounding Kyrie's issues, KD's trade request, Steve Nash, whether Simmons would be available, those things actually did impact the play of the Nets. And I think that they sort of struggled to start the season. But after they got rid of Steve Nash, they brought in, as you like to call him, Jackie Vaughn.
Jacques
Jacques Vaughn,
Vaughn,
I
yeah.
thought he's been doing a great job. And obviously, they've looked phenomenal since then. They obviously went on that crazy win streak of like what, 12 games. Kyrie and KD look incredible next to each other. And they've quickly shot up to number two in the standings after a rocky start. A lot of the pieces like surrounding the big two, I mean, I'm even going to throw Simmons in that category. I think he's been doing pretty good defensively. But guys like Royce O'Neal, Seth Curry, like the guys filling in the gaps, have really stepped up and made a big impact. Nick Claxton leading the league in field goal percentage.
Yep.
I would give them a B plus. They've been very solid.
Yeah, I give them, similar rating, like B plus, A minus, like in that range. I think the like as you said, like all those things, beginning of the season drama, you have all that. But I do want to also give some love to their development department and like making Yuta Watanabe such an incredible shooter. Just like being very good in schematically, I think that the Nets have done a good job of almost like doing this weird thing, like the Bucks have this kind of similar strategy, surround our stars with 3-point shooters. And the whole league is kind of doing that. But what makes the Nets so unique is it's not just, oh, we have 4 3-point shooters and a Giannis Antetokounmpo. We have 4 3-point shooters and a, some guy who's like not great from the 3-point line. It's three role player shooters and two of the best 3-point shooters like of all time, and Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. So, this is just absolutely lethal team. And I've liked what I've seen from them and their bounce back this year. I would give them a higher grade, but I think drama in the beginning of the season definitely brings them down a peg.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you think about the Hornets, though? I think this might be one of our lowest grades to start.
I mean, like, they're doing what they're trying to do. My grades aren't based on like how high a team is in the
You're
standings, because
talking about
that's
relative to expectations.
relative, not even relative to expectations, relative to their goals for the season, because every team has different goals. So they're doing what I think that they're doing what they're trying to do. They're trying to compete for the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. And for that reason, I'm gonna give them a B plus. I think our rating systems may be a little different, what we're basing this off of. My idea of how well you rate a team is based off of, well, expectations for them as like from the media and like from the outside, and also internal expectations, what they want to do and what the ownership and the GM wants to do. And I'm sure Michael Jordan's sitting there looking at Victor Wembanyama licking his lips, So
Not true, but I think that I can't in good conscience give like a team that's 11 and 30 in the standings right now like anything above like a D.
Well, I guess we're just thinking differently because, LaMelo Ball, he's been injured, which, never a good thing, but it
True.
has definitely helped them because I think if LaMelo Ball were healthy, they'd probably be like a slightly under 500 team.
I
I
don't
think
think
they'd
that,
be.
no way, no way. Because they've had LaMelo Ball back and they still look abysmal. Because guess what? They don't have Miles Bridges anymore.
Yeah, that's
And
true.
the team is just so, and Gordon Hayward's been injured. The team just doesn't have a lot of talent on it. And
Yeah,
there's
that.
just not much there.
They don't have a lot of young talent either outside of LaMelo Ball, which is why I think they're trying to compete for that Victor Wembanyama spot. So that's why I'm giving them the B plus. I'm not gonna in good conscience give any team that's tanking an A, but I do think they're doing the job that they want to do.
Well, I think that's like, I don't know. You want to talk about inflation. Now we're inflating the grades. That's like you're failing a class, but you're like, no, but I want to get in the lower division class. Like, I'm actually, my F is actually a B plus, even though I got a
No,
40% on the
that's no,
exam.
it's different because we just have different expectations of what teams are trying to accomplish. You're saying if we're basing our grades off of standings, there's no point in making this ranking because then we just have the teams at the top of the conference at an A and the teams at the bottom of the conference an F. What's the point of doing the standings if you're just going to go, oh, they're the sixth seed, so I'm going to give them a B minus, and this team's the ninth seed, so
Okay,
I'm going to give them a C.
that's actually a good point. I see what you're saying. So then I guess relative to their expectations, I give them like I'm just yeah, I'll give them like a C.
Okay, well, if you're giving them a C, explain to me why they're doing a mediocre job at trying to tank.
Because I think that if they're talking about trying to build for the future, which is I guess the principle of tanking, I don't think they've done a good job with that. I think they still have a lot of guys who are very overpaid for those goals who don't fit their timeline. Guys like Gordon Hayward making 30 mil, Terry Rozier making a lot of money. And they just haven't done a good job of surrounding LaMelo Ball with the proper pieces. I think that right now they're squandering his talents. And so that's why I'm going to give them a C.
I would agree with that. I think the one positive is Kelly Oubre has been really good for them. I think he's definitely shown this year. I think he's averaging 20 points per game. 20, yeah, he's averaging 25 and yeah, 20 and 5 on good efficiency. So this is definitely a good year for Kelly Oubre. So maybe he'll be on the market too, potentially, maybe for some draft capital.
Could be. Let's move on to talking about the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, Chicago Bulls. This is sadly, I don't like giving them bad rankings. They've been doing pretty all right lately. But I'm gonna give them a C minus.
C-minus. Wow, harsh.
Yeah, I think it's harsh. They've been winning against the good teams in the league, surprisingly. They're having the opposite problem of last year. They're beating all the good teams. I think they beat the Celtics once. They just lost to the Celtics, but they beat the Bucks, they beat the Bull, or they beat the Nets. So they're beat
Beat the Sixers.
the Sixers. Yeah, they're beating good teams, but they just keep losing to the crappy teams in the league. I don't know like exactly who. I'm not looking at their like games played list, but just with a talent on this team, what we saw from them last year. I mean, it's really tough because of their injuries with Lonzo Ball, changed their team dynamics quite a bit. But I think that they're deserving of a C minus because going from like a four seed or like last year at some points they were the one seed going all the way down to the 10 seed, three games under 500. I think C minus is appropriate because you have to win against bad teams. That's
Yeah,
just bottom line.
I'll agree with you. C minus is valid because I think this is a team that we expected to, continue like be fighting for one of the top spots in the East. Like this is a very well constructed team on paper. We saw DeMar play incredibly last year, and he's kept that up, but we just haven't seen the same, I guess, chemistry between LaVine and DeRozan. Obviously, missing Lonzo hurts a lot, but a lot of guys on the exterior have really been disappointing. I would say a guy like Patrick Williams has, and maybe even Kobe White have really played up to expectations. So yeah, I would give them a C minus. You kind of capture my thoughts pretty well.
How has Io been playing this year?
He's been good. He's been solid.
Okay. Yeah. So that, I mean, they have definitely have a few bright points, and like that idea that they're beating good teams is a bright point for sure. But like I'm saying, like just that Lonzo Ball situation makes it really tough, especially because who knows if he'll play basketball at all this year, even in the next like few years, the way it's looking. I mean, considering, he's still having trouble walking. But I think we can move on from there to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Cavs, I think that see, I'm deciding between like an A minus and a B plus here, because I think obviously, they've had a very, very good season. Adding Donovan Mitchell to an already very, very good team made this team even better. And he's played beyond expectations. I mean, talk about 71 points, like, making history over there in Cleveland. I guess I'll give them a B plus because right now they're sitting at four in the standings, 26 and 15. Kind of playing like a little bit beyond what people expected, but everyone expected this to be a very good team, but they haven't really done anything to like go beyond those expectations. They're not the one seed. They haven't been unbeatable. They're just kind of playing as to what everyone expected them to be. Everyone is kind of doing their role over there. Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, they're all playing up to expectation. Caris LeVert. Even But I would say even like a guy like Isaac Okoro, a little bit let down by him this year. Expected him to be a little bit better, especially since he's an integral like wing defender. But yeah, I'm gonna give them a B plus. I think that they've done. I'm gonna drop them down to a B because like if the Nets have sort of gone beyond what I expected them to do and battled through adversity, the Cavs are just kind of sitting right where I thought they would be.
Yeah, I think B is a very fair rating. I think anything in that B range, like B minus to B plus, is like a about at expectations, like where you'd want someone, like where you thought they were going to be. I think to get to the A minus or above, you have to be above expectations by some amount. And I think they've played right about to expectations where we thought them, like that 4 or 5 C range. But they've been great. They've been phenomenal. That's not a knock on the Cavs by any means. Because it would be a lot to expect them to be the one seed, but they're doing great. They're doing their job and they're going to be contending.
Definitely. How do you feel about Dallas? Give them a grade.
Ooh, Dallas is a really tough team to grade because looking at the standings, I think you have to give them a solid grade. Man, I'm going to be giving Dallas a. Sorry, I'm just thinking about this carefully.
Sure.
A C plus to B minus.
Interesting. Sitting
I'm
at
rating them.
number four in the West is a C plus.
Yeah, I'm rating them low, not because of their standings, but because of their lack of support for their star and their inability to make Luka thrive without having to strain himself every single night. I think that some trades could make this a lot easier on him, but I think we're seeing what we saw last year in a sense. And I think if, maybe they had gotten some, made some moves to ease the burden on Luka, I could have given them a higher grade. But I'm giving them a bad, like a bad or below what I expected grade, not from standings, but simply because I expected more after that big run last year. They're like, okay, we need to give Luka help. And they got Christian Wood, which was a good move, but they didn't do anything else to support Luka, and that's my issue.
Honestly, that's a very valid point, and I would agree with you. I think that as a whole, the team has been fine, but that's mostly due to the brilliance of Luka Doncic. I think that the supporting cast has been very disappointing. I mean, like a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie, when they brought him in, he was supposed to be that number two guy. Obviously, before Jalen Brunson kind of took off and stole that mantle. But where is that 20-point per game score that we saw in Brooklyn and the very, very solid player we saw in Washington? You know, he's kind of just been missing in action. And that kind of goes for everyone else on the team. So I'm gonna agree with you. I give them a B minus. Yeah, I just hope that they can, get some support for Luka going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to give a team that's doing so well a bad grade, but I think relative to expectations, we saw them sitting at the 4 seed, so that's like putting them at that B, like the same thing as the Cavs, but on the
Yeah.
lower their grade slightly because of the inability of the front office to do anything
Yeah, because
for them.
literally, if Luka had just like a modicum of help, they would be at like number two right now,
Yeah,
number one.
because I can't give in good conscience the Mavs and the Cavs the same grade because the Cavs did a phenomenal job of upgrading their roster and building something special. So if the Cavs are a B, the Mavs have to be a C plus B minus.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
So moving on to the next team, we have the Denver Nuggets. Where are you putting them at right now?
I'm honestly going to give them an A minus here. I think that they're sitting at number one in the West right now. Jokic is playing incredibly. I think that we've seen Jamal Murray have a very, very nice bounce back season. Like he's looked very good this year when he's played. And I think overall the team has done a good job of just, keeping it going and keeping their streak of playing well in the regular season going. And I mean, I give them an A minus because I think maybe some people had some questions about the return of Murray and Michael Porter Jr., how those are going to fit, and also whether, Jokic could keep this going. But if anything, he's only improved and he's still in those MVP talks and he's got the Nuggets at number one. So I got to give them an A minus.
Yeah, I'm gonna give them the A. I think they're
Solid. Yeah, I'm
A,
not
or
mad at that.
maybe even an A plus, honestly. Like,
Really?
I gave
Wow.
the Celtics an A plus. They're sitting that right at the same spot with the Celtics to me, or if not better, because this bounce back for Michael Porter Jr. has been great. He's averaging 16-6 right now. But he's shooting 41% from three, 47% from the field, which is right where you want him to be at. So he's doing well, like back to his former self, and hopefully he'll keep evolving as a player. That KCP acquisition has been great for them, averaging 12 points per game, above 40% from three. Bruce Brown, another guy who's been phenomenal for them. Just they keep adding players who fit very well for them. And something they've done a very good job of that the Mavs need to learn from is surrounding their star with pieces so that he doesn't have to work very hard on any given night. I mean, in the Lakers game last night, the Nuggets played the Lakers, and Jokic only had to take five shots, and they absolutely demolished the Lakers. Obviously, no LeBron, no AD, but this man played the game, got a triple double, only had to take five shots in the entire game, to get a fairly easy win. If that was the Mavs, I promise you, Luka would have had to have taken 30 shots and play, his hardest to not to snuff a win, but to destroy the Lakers like that, he would have needed to play really hard. So
Yeah.
I think this team has done an incredible job. There were a lot of question marks surrounding the health and of Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray coming back, and it's been great. And not only that, but we're seeing the Jokic that we saw in the past two seasons be able to play with co-stars, which is wonderful.
This Nuggets team has actually done a very, very good job of surrounding the team with talent because you have your like your number one guy in Jokic. He's gonna be the fulcrum through which everything goes through. And then you have your, like, I guess, number two options, if you want to call them, like MPJ, Jamal Murray, and Aaron Gordon. And then you have all the role players, and all the role players are really, really solid pieces. KCP, Bones Highland, even guy like, or Bruce Brown, I'm forgetting, Vlado, even Vlado Chanchar is an interesting name to say.
Yeah.
But he's a solid player, like he's a good shooter, and does his role very well. So I like this Nuggets team. I wouldn't give them an A, like a flat A, because I think they like have not all like they just recently became the one seed, and so I think they started the season a little bit rocky, whereas the Celtics have just been completely dominant. So I would give they're gonna be my only A. That's a spoiler alert, the Celtics. But yeah, it's not too far-fetched to say they're an A team. So let's keep
Yeah.
going. Let's talk about Detroit. Curious what you
Detroit. So, I mean, obviously, this is one of those teams. I'm gonna have to rate them similarly to how I rated the Hornets. They're not trying to win. Cade Cunningham out for the season. So, I'm gonna give them, if I gave the Hornets a B, I'm gonna give them a B plus. I think I like what they're building over there. They have a lot of good young talent. Jaden Ivey has been playing wonderful. Isaiah Stewart's pretty cool. Sadiq Bey, Marvin Bagley, and they've been really showcasing Bogdanovich to the league, and they're going to get a great package for him. So I think they've done a good job of taking like the players they have. Oh, I forgot to mention Jalen Duren has also been pretty fun to watch. So they have this young core that they're building, and at the same time, they're showcasing role players that they're going to be useful to the rest of the league. They can get great draft capital and great players back for. I'm going to give them the B plus because they're doing exactly what they want to do, and they're the 15 seed. So, Wembanyama.
Yeah, I mean, I like they're the worst team in the league. I can't give them anything above a D plus. I understand like you disagree, but I just can't. I don't feel right giving them above a D plus. I think that losing K for the season obviously is a huge blow. And I think Jaden Ivey has been solid. I don't think he's been like exceptional, especially compared to other rookies like Paolo or even Benedict Mathurin. I think that it's nice to see a guy like Killian Hayes have a great bounce back season, like really turn it
Yeah.
up. And I think that he's going to be a valuable piece in Detroit for a while. Obviously, Isaiah Stewart playing well. And yeah, Bogdanovich, like when the highlight of your season is you showing off a like pretty average role player to the league and like showcasing him like he's like the next coming of Jordan to get your trade package, like it's
But they're
pretty.
doing what they want to do. I mean, like the front office is like, okay, we're doing exactly what we wanted to do.
Okay, but
And
when the season ends, right? And like the Pistons end with like what 20 wins, 30 wins max, they're not going to reflect and be like, this was a job well done. Great season, guys. I
Yeah,
think.
I think that when they look back on it in 5 years or whatever, how long it takes to make their team a real solid team with a lot of nice all-stars or whatever they're building there, they can look back on this season and say, this is the season that got us to where we are now.
I just can't agree with that definition. I mean, I don't think it's fine if we disagree, but I'm
Yeah.
just not going to agree with you there.
Next team, let's move on to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I think this is a team, honestly, I'm going to have to give a B minus, because I think that, they've obviously had some injury troubles with Steph missing a lot of time. But I think that, for them to be sitting at 500 right now, sixth in the West, is a testament to how good they've sort of played in his absence. I think that we've seen players like Jordan Poole step up, and players across the board sort of fill in the gaps when Steph has been missing. But even when they had been fully healthy, they were not the same championship winning team that we saw. There was a lot of struggles on the bench. Klay was, struggling to find his form. He's now found that
Yeah, he's
shot.
playing great now.
But, they were not the dominant team that we expected them to be, and they were an abysmal road team. So I think that they've just sort of played a tad below what we expected. So I'm going to give them a B plus.
Yeah, I'll put them also in that B. That wait, B plus is t a tad below
Or B,
expectations.
a B minus, sorry. I
Okay, yeah, I was
misspoke.
gonna say I'll put them in that B minus C plus range as well. I think that's very fair. I think if I were looking at this season when they had Steph Curry, with before the injury and seeing that they were playing horrible on the road and winning games at home, I probably would have given them maybe even like a C minus just because, even with Steph Curry, they couldn't find their footing at all, and maybe even the D plus relative to expectations. The championship winners, you're not expecting them to be a below 500 team. But after seeing their role players really find footing, be able to win some games, get on some streaks here and there. They dropped a game to Orlando, which is very unfortunate, but those kinds of games are going to happen when you don't have a star in Steph. So I am going to think about this, but I think the C plus is the right range because their role players and Klay Thompson have really redeemed themselves without Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's valid. I think B minus C plus ranges is certainly
Yeah.
pretty good. Because I realize that we are taking quite a while with this segment. We're gonna sort of hurry through the I guess the teams that have not been very good, just so we can get to the meat and bones or meat and potatoes of this. So, what do you quick thoughts about the Houston Rockets?
Houston Rockets going off the same sort of thing. I'm gonna give them a slightly worse grade than I gave the other two teams. I'm gonna give them a B minus C plus. I think they've done an okay job there. I mean, they are the 15 seed, but I don't like their core nearly as much as some of the other teams. I like Jalen Green a lot, but nothing else really stands out to me.
I think there have been some bright spots. I'm gonna give them a D, slightly worse than what I gave the Pistons. There have been some bright spots. I think Alperen Şengün has looked pretty good, and they've had some okay moments here and there. But I think that their rookie, who I'm totally blanking on his name right now, Jabari Smith Jr.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Jabari Smith.
He's been a little disappointing. So not as much to look forward to in Houston as in Detroit, gonna give them a D. Let's keep it
Yeah, all right.
moving.
This is an interesting team to talk about in the Indiana Pacers. What are you gonna give them?
I'm actually gonna give them a very, very, pretty good rating. I'm gonna give them a B plus because this is a team that people expected to be pretty bad, more toward the bottom of the Eastern Conference, maybe fighting for a play-in spot, but they've really surprised everybody, and they're a solid playoff team right now at the number 6 seed, 23-18. Tyrese Haliburton has looked phenomenal. He's almost certainly going to be an all-star this year, leading the league in assists and in double doubles with assists. So he's looked phenomenal. Benedict Mathurin is certainly going to get a lot of votes for rookie of the year and for even sixth man of the year. He's looked really, really good. And then you got guys like Miles Turner, Buddy Hield, obviously there playing great. Chris Duarte still on the team, looking very solid. So this team has really just played beyond what we expected. They're really fighting as a team. They got a lot of passion, and they've brought some life back to Indiana. C plus.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to give them an A.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm basing my stats off of, off of expectations to start the season. This is a team people either thought were going to be out of the playoffs entirely, like maybe 11, 12 seed range. Some people had them that low. So, sitting 5 games above 500 is no easy feat. I'm definitely going to have to give them that A. Just incredible performance by Tyrese Haliburton night in and night out. I think he is the star version of Malcolm Brogdon in some ways. Just very low turnovers, very smart play, kind of does everything on the floor for you. Benedict Mathurin, you said, has been an incredible rookie for them. Definitely the right pick. Chris Duarte is still playing great. Buddy Hield and Miles Turner doing their thing. We'll see what happens with them. I don't know if they're on the market, but I don't think they should be considering how good the Pacers have been this year. I think it's just a fun year for Indiana, regardless of, aspirations for the future. So I am going to give them that A because, just being in the playoffs is it's tough in the Eastern Conference where there's a lot of good teams now.
Yeah, you see, like a team like Pacers at number six, and then a team we expected to be there, like Atlanta or the Bulls, much lower. Definitely got to give them a high grade. What do you think about the Los Angeles Clippers?
Los Angeles Clippers, I'm going to have to be giving them a B. Oh wait, they went on a massive losing streak lately, haven't they? Yeah, they're on a 6-game loss streak right now. I'm gonna give them a B minus. I think they're slightly below expectations right now. I think, just this whole still load management situation, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, same deal as always. But Kawhi Leonard has they've been easing him back, I think, the right way, how they should be considering he hasn't played in 2 years. They are on a 6-game loss streak, but they were sitting at the 4 seed just a little bit ago. And I think the role players have been playing pretty incredibly. I do like Norman Powell. I like Robert Covington. I like Reggie Jackson. So I'm gonna give them a B minus as slightly below expectations, but I'm giving them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because they're just playing without their stars.
I'm gonna give them a C, because I think they've been far be far far below our expectations. I think that we expected this year to be the year where the Clippers run the Western Conference. They're gonna be up there, top three in the West. And what has happened? It's been like kind of the same story as always. They've had dealt with a lot of injuries to their stars, and just have kind of not been able to form an identity because everybody is in and out of the rotation.
Yeah, but I mean, they're only 3 games back from being a top 4 seed. That's not horrible. And they've been on a massive loss streak, so they were just there.
Yeah, they're number seven right now though, and I think that this loss streak, and I mean, if you want to just talk about the individual pieces, Kawhi has not looked like himself. He's looked like a shell of himself. PG
Yeah.
has been solid, but he's also missed some time. And I mean, like, there's with how much talent is on this team. We talked about this as being like one of the most loaded teams ever, just in terms of depth. I mean, you talk about them getting Norman Powell and Robert Covington for free,
And
adding
John Wall
a
was
guy like
insane
John
too.
Wall. And for them to be sitting at 7.500 team, no, I gotta give them a
Actually,
C.
you know what? You've won me over with that argument. I'm gonna have to give him a C as well. I think I'm lowering my grade by a lot because you've made a very good argument for that. Next team, let's talk about. I think we're gonna talk about in a kind of similar light in the Los Angeles Lakers.
I mean, it's hard. I'm a little biased, but I'm gonna try to be objective here. I'm gonna give them a C plus because I think that the Lakers, Anthony Davis, LeBron, Westbrook. Actually, okay, the expectations were like the play-in, and they're not even in the play-in now, but they have looked better. So yeah, I think a C plus is a fair rating, C plus B minus range. So I think that, we have the Lakers started the season horribly, right? Everyone that was clowning them, like the Lakers look terrible. But as the season progressed, more and more bright spots started to emerge. Russell Westbrook started finding his form as a sixth man. Pieces starting to appear off the bench, like valuable pieces that Lakers can use. Thomas Bryant starts to look good. Even as we saw last night, Max Christie starts developing, guys like that. And so I think that considering the circumstances with AD and LeBron being out for extended periods of time, like the 12 seed at 19 and 22 is not horrible. So that's why I'm going to give them a C plus. What do you think?
This is going to be my first D of the
D,
episode. I'm giving them a D
what?
plus. I'm giving the Lakers a D
What?
plus. Look,
What?
they I to me they have been so underwhelming in the sense that look, you last year they didn't even make the play-in, right? So that you have to exp you knew that was the flat line, like they could just be horrible again, right? But this you can't underestimate a team that still has two arguably top 10 players in the league at this point, because Anthony Davis did look like a top 10 player in the league when he was playing. So we're talking about a team with two top 10 guys. How many teams in the league can you say have guys like that? Maybe the only other team I can think of is the Brooklyn Nets, and we're comparing them to a team that is currently the two seed in their conference. Look, yes, Anthony Davis is missing time, but it's the recurring story year in, year out. Lakers role players and LeBron have to try and bail out the, Anthony Davis, who's missing time, and it's been a problem. And the Lakers front office has not done anything to address the issues of Anthony Davis' health and trying to get him a valuable center. And they have done nothing to support LeBron in year 20 to get him to a point where, he doesn't have to do the work every night. I look at LeBron right now the same way I'm looking at Luka Doncic from the Mavs and saying, get this man some help. Because even if you have Thomas Bryant scoring 30 points or 20 points one night, you have Dennis Schroeder scoring 25 points one night. That doesn't matter in the long run because LeBron James can only do this for so long. You look at Kobe Bryant, year 17 of his career. That's the year Dwight Howard goes down, Steve Nash goes down. He has to, he's fighting. He's keeping his team in the playoffs. He's doing his crazy Kobe Bryant things he did every night. And you know what happens against the Warriors? He tears his ACL. I'm not saying LeBron's that guy because I do think LeBron has done so much for his health and he's going to stay healthy, but it adds up. And we saw what happens when LeBron James plays without Anthony Davis and has to carry too much of a load last year. And we saw it 2 seasons ago. And I don't want it to happen again, but I think it very well could. I'm giving the Lakers my first D of this episode because I think they've just done a horrible job of managing such an incredible roster from 2 years ago.
Okay, I mean, that's a good argument. And I think you've convinced me to change mine to a C. But I think you got to manage your expectations a little bit. What did people seriously expect from a team that missed the playoffs last year? And with a guy in Russell Westbrook who looked abysmal and who everyone thought would be shipped out of this team and would still be horrible. I think that, they started bad and they started playing at expectations. But as the season has progressed, they've played above expectations. They have some fight to them. Role players are stepping up. You talked about Schroeder as a guy who scored a season high the other night. Kendrick Nunn doing the same. Thomas Bryant finding form. A guy like Wenyen Gabriel, really just a hustle guy off the bench, really contributing to this team. Well, yes, I don't think it's like an ideal scenario in the sense that like I wish they had more from LeBron in year 20 and that he wouldn't have to do as much. I think considering the pieces that they have, considering the expectations. When all the pieces are playing, the Lakers look good. I
Yeah, but
think.
I have to put them in that same Luka Doncic boat, and the Dav's the Mal oh my God, I'm mixing up words. The Malice Dav's, the Dallas Mavs are the 4 seed, and if I'm putting them at a B minus C plus, I absolutely have to lower the Lakers by a
Okay,
good bit.
that's that. You make a valid case. I mean, I disagree with you slightly, so that's why I'm gonna keep them at a
All right.
C,
Yeah,
but.
let's keep moving because we still have half the
I
teams left in the league.
might have to
But
speed run a couple of these teams.
okay, Memphis Grizzlies, where are you putting them at?
I'm gonna give them an A minus as well. I think we a lot of people kind of slept on the Grizzlies, us included, because we thought they were gonna take a step back. Maybe teams are gonna figure them out a little bit. They did lose a little bit of talent in the offseason, but no, they've only rose to the occasion, tied for the one seed in the West. Ja Morant looking incredible, longest win streak in the league right now. Gotta give them an A minus.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you there. Just this team is very deep in a very interesting way. I mean, a lot of names that people don't know around, like they're not household names, but they're really solid players. Ja Morant has looked great, as you said, and they've been able to play good basketball even with their star missing, which is what you expected of this team considering how they went last year. So,
Yeah.
I'm also gonna give them A minus.
Miami Heat.
This is one of the probably the most underwhelming teams of the season. In the same way the Lakers, I think they're going to be maybe a C minus D plus as well. This is a team that we expected, last year, Eastern Conference or was it the Eastern Conference
Yeah,
Finals
Eastern
last year?
Conference Finals.
Eastern Conference Finals last year. Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago, and then the finals before that. This is a team that people can continually underestimate around the league, but this is a team I've always put high value in. And it's just been abysmal. I mean, they've had their problems with Duncan Robinson. They've had their problems with Tyler Hero. I mean, Jimmy Butler has looked all right. Bam Adebayo has really stepped it up this season. He's been looking great. And that's all I can really say about them, though. Bam Adebayo is the only highlight for this team. This is a team that you expect to do well. They haven't done a good job of making moves and retooling their roster to put them back in that contention status. They're one game above 500 in the East. I don't see them contending with other teams. And this is underwhelming relative to where they thought they should be and what I think the league thought they should be. So I think they're in that same realm as the Lakers, maybe a little bit better. I'm going to give them a C minus, because the Lakers are a D plus, they're C minus.
I'm gonna give them a C minus. I mean, I think they're doing worse than the Lakers relative to expectations. Lakers missed the playoffs last year, and they're on trajectory to miss it again, but could get into the play-in and have looked much better at points. The Heat have just looked far and away a worse team than they did last year, through and throughout. I mean, right now they were the one seed last year. You can't forget that. So
Yep.
coming in with that expectation, they've looked terrible. And there's been very few things to be optimistic about in Miami. I think Bam Adebayo is one of them, but as you said, a lot of problems in Miami and not a lot of apparent solutions. So I'm going to give them a C minus. Milwaukee, what do you think about Milwaukee?
This is a tough team to grade because just the lack of Chris Middleton, but I'm going to give them a B minus. I think just Chris Middleton not being there has made it obviously them lose a lot of games, but they're definitely slightly below expectations, the three seed. But Giannis can only do so much, so I'm gonna put them right at that B minus because this is slightly below expectations. This is a team you expected to be one seed.
Yeah, I'm gonna give them a B. I think they've been right about expectations. I don't think they've been like a bad team. They've been a great team the whole year. I think Giannis has looked a little bit underwhelming this year. Like his efficiency hasn't always been there, and he's looked outright like off some nights, whereas he hasn't really shown that in the past three seasons. So like that's some room for worry. But for the most part, the ship has still been sailing very smoothly in Milwaukee. And there's not really too much to be concerned about. Obviously, Chris Middleton missed a lot of time. But yeah, I'm gonna give them a B.
Yeah, I think really there's no concern over there. Next team to talk about would be the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is also a rough team.
Yeah, relative to where we expected them to be. I mean, I think I was rewatching our predictions, and you had them as like I think a top like three or four seed, which is
Yeah, I
crazy.
really was high on them.
Yeah, so I think that I gotta give them like. Ooh, like a C minus as well, maybe. I think they've been very, very disappointing. Considering they brought in like a superstar player in Rudy Gobert, or they brought in a superstar name in Rudy Gobert. And they expected to make that pairing work. They gave up so much, like a historic amount to get him, and it's just fallen flat in its face. Missing Cat for a lot of time hasn't helped. Anthony Edwards hasn't made that leap that we wanted him to, and D'Angelo Russell is still one of the more disappointing players in the league, so I got to give them a C minus.
Yeah, I'm also going to put them in that C minus, maybe even D plus, because this is a team I was so high on. I mean, they're definitely, if we're talking about expectations, they're probably the furthest away from their expectations, even farther away than Miami, because this is a team that's out of the play-in right now.
No,
So,
they're in the plan.
oh, they're in the play-in, but they're the 10 seed, I think, if
The
they
ninth
are
seed.
ninth. Okay, ninth seed, whatever. They're still one game up below 500. That's pretty embarrassing for a team that, we expected such a winning player in Rudy Gobert to be able to change the culture. To be able to change that defense. And we expected Anthony Edwards to make that jump that you were talking about, and that just hasn't happened. Especially, I mean, Kat being out has made it hard for them. But look, Lakers have AD out. Tough. You gotta work. Every team has a player that goes down. I am gonna still give them that bad grade. A guy like D'Angelo Russell, when Kat goes out, I expect to make that leap. Or he's the veteran, the guy who has the ability to score, but he just hasn't shown that. I mean, he's averaging 17 points a game, so he's doing better than last year, but like only by a point. So like, who cares?
Yeah, and I want to say like this is a team that showed a lot of promise last year, a lot of fight. This is a team that really took this Memphis Grizzlies team and gave them a run for their money, in six games in that first round series. And we thought that they could only go up from here. But for them to take such a big step back is disappointing.
Yeah, Patrick Beverley really, they're missing them.
They can have him back, man. They could take
Yeah.
him.
Yeah, we'll trade back for Matt Ryan. Yeah, but moving on to the next team, let's talk about the Pellies, the New Orleans Pelicans.
I think I'm going to give them an A. I said that the Celtics were my only A team. I got to give it, honestly, the Pelicans are an A. Like, they have played so great this year. All the pieces have been clicking. I mean, they have missed time from their stars. Like, even right now, they don't have Zion and BI, but they're sitting at number three in the West. They're a couple games back from the one seed. They were the one seed for a while. Zion has looked phenomenal, definitely like an all-star starter player. But through and throughout, they've looked phenomenal. They got guys like, I want to highlight guys like Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado just contributing to this defensive culture. Jonas Valanciunas has been very underrated this season. And then obviously Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, phenomenal players. So got to give them an A. They've like surpassed any expectations. I mean, I predicted them at like four, and they've even, and that was a bullish take on them. And you were like, whoa, four is really high for the Pelicans. But for them to be three right now, and maybe even higher, I think that they're playing at like an A level right now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think A minus is where I'm going to put them at. I'm still very high on the Pelicans. Playing without Zion, playing without BI. BI's been gone for most of the season at this point. So very impressive to see what they're doing. CJ McCollum's been incredible for them. That was such a good trade for them. I mean, people were really like, "Oh, why are they trying to get CJ McCollum? What's the plan here?" And it's really worked out in their favor. So I just think this team overall has such a great identity. We saw what they could be last year. And this year they've just built upon that. So you have to give them above expectations for sure. So I'll put them at that A minus.
Agreed. What do you think about the New York Knicks?
Man, another one of those, I wouldn't say disappointing teams. They're sitting at the seven seed, three games above 500. But I'm gonna put them at the I'll put them right about B, like what you would have expected for this team. I think they haven't done anything too bad, but it's just this isn't a team that you're gonna see winning a championship this season. It's not like a contender, so it would be nice to see them make some moves. I do like Jalen Brunson. He's fit very well for them. That could have really backfired on them, but it worked out well. And they're starting to shop around some players. They're looking at moving out Emmanuel quickly, maybe looking at moving like an Evan Fournier. So I like what I'm seeing out of them, but I don't think I can give them anything above a B because I feel like this is right about where you want them, like top of the play and maybe the sixth seed.
I honestly have them at like a B plus. I mean, we said that we predicted this team might miss the playoffs, and we weren't sure how much of an upgrade Jalen Brunson was going to be, but he's looked phenomenal this year. Could even be an all-star. Julius Randle, I'm happy that he's had a bounce back season. He's looked great as of late. And RJ Barrett, while he started the season really rough, he's sort of found his footing. And there's a team that's sitting kind of comfortably three games above 500, This is by no means a bad team. They're doing kind of like a little bit above what we expected, so I gotta give them a B plus.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
What about OKC?
OKC is another team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has just been so incredible for them. Just such a highlight. I'm gonna have to give them. Of all the bad teams, this is probably gonna be the first one I'm gonna give a bad grade. I'm gonna give them a C.
Okay, fair
I
enough.
think that they're doing below what they wanted to do because I think having a guy in Shai Gilgeous doesn't really fit their timeline with their other players, just because I think the other guys need time to develop, and Shai's ready to win right now. They're just in kind of a weird predicament because you're waiting for a guy like Chet, supposed to be like the next Kevin Durant, right? So you have to wait a full year for him. You have to wait for guys like who else on their team? Like, I'm trying to think of the names.
Pokushevsky.
Yeah, Pokuševski. You're waiting on your Trey Mann, like Darius Bazley. Like they're not big names by any means. Like they don't have like a full like young core like the Rockets or the Pistons or teams like that. But they do have Josh Giddey. They have Lu Dort. They have Chet. So they do have guys, but they're not in the same timeline as Shai. Shai's probably 3, 4 years ahead of them. And Shai could get restless sitting in, a small market where he's not winning if he's like this for a lot longer. So I'm gonna give him a C because I just think they're in a tough spot right now.
I'm giving them a D. I mean, Shea's been like a phenomenal player this year, and obviously, if you're an OKC fan, you're excited to see that. But losing Chet for the season is disheartening, and there isn't too much to be optimistic about. I mean, you're a bad team, you're tanking, still very much in that rebuild mode. So, gotta give them a D, and let's keep it moving to Orlando.
You know, this might sound crazy, but I'm gonna give the Orlando Magic an A minus.
Really? At 13?
Yes, but here's I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I wasn't giving any bad teams an A, but I have to take it back because they have just been the best young core to me. They've look,
Jesus.
I mean, just think their decision to take Paolo was just absolutely shows how much it's paid off at this point. Bol Bol, they have made him such a unique, like he's like budget Victor Wembanyama, but not in a bad way. Like, you know, I think he's been wonderful for them. I love what they've done with Markelle Fultz. He's really bounced back as a player. Cole Anthony, Franz Wagner, they're so deep. Jalen Suggs, who I didn't even mention from last year, they just have so many guys. Wendell Carter Jr. I could keep going on and on with the list of names. And this is, I mean, they're still doing what they want to do. They have this wonderful young core. All of these guys are playing well individually, and they're still losing games, but that's a good thing for them because they're building such a wonderful foundation for the future. And I do think this is going to be the quickest team to rise out of nowhere of all the young cores.
Honestly, you make a very convincing case. I give them a B plus for that because I think that, you know, they're bad. They're really bad as a team,
Yeah.
but their players are all playing above expectations. And there's been a few revelations like Bol Bol. Like, he's been like almost a unicorn this year with how good he's been. So I'm going to give them a B plus. You make a compelling case.
Yeah, moving on to the Philadelphia 76ers. Where do you got them?
76ers, I'm gonna give them like a B as well. I think that they've been kind of B minus. You know, I think they're sitting at five right now. Embiid has looked phenomenal, but we expected that. And Harden, the times that he's played has kind of played to where we expect, like not that okay or not that Harden Thunder or sorry, not that Rockets Thunder. Not
Rockets,
that
James Harden.
not that Rockets James Harden, but he still looked very solid of one of the best facilitators on the game. But and Tyrese Maxey has played really great too. But you know, they've had some strips and fumbles along the way, and injuries haven't made it easier. So I'm gonna give them like a little bit below where we expected them to be, B minus.
Yeah, I think B minus is also what I'd give this team. They're not doing bad by any means. They're not in that C range, but they're slightly below expectations. I feel like this is a team we had in the top three seed, sitting at the five seed, but this Eastern Conference is very competitive, so that's by no means a small feat. 9 games above 500. That's kind of crazy to think 9 games above 500 is the five seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
But you know, Tyrese Maxey has been doing his thing. He's been playing great for them. I wouldn't say above expectations. So like, I think the only guy on this team who's playing above expectations right now slightly is James Harden, who a lot of people thought was going to have a bounce back season. So I am going to put them right there. I think Joel Embiid has been wonderful as well. So moving on to the next team, we have the Phoenix Suns.
Phoenix Suns. Oof, yeesh. I'm gonna give them a C. I think that they've been really disappointing. They've like missed Booker a lot, and they've have an abysmal like 2-10 record without Booker. I think they've looked good with Booker back in the lineup, but I think for a team that was in the finals a couple of years ago, you know, had such a great season last year, for them to be sitting at eight right now, not even a 500 team. And maybe could slip to the play-in or even the missing the playoffs. Like, you got to give them a C. It's been a disappointing year in Phoenix.
I'm going to give them even below C. I'm going to give them that D plus C minus treatment. I'm going to give them that Timberwolves, the Lakers treatment, you know, that Clippers treatment right now, because I mean, just relying so heavily on the stars, we see with these other teams is not working out. Chris Paul has taken a step back, so that also has to lower their grade. That's not a knock on Chris Paul. That's just father time. But no one else has been able to step up. DeAndre Ayton, again, another guy, very disappointing season for him. He's not made any improvements. I mean, like we've seen a guy in the Eastern Conference that highlight in Bam Adebayo. He's taken his game out to the mid-range and been able to be a lot more dynamic in his scoring, which was what we hoped to see out of Ayton in his progression, but he has not proven to to improve at all in that department. Jay Crowder not playing, obviously. That whole mess of a situation has to bring them down a little bit. Mikal Bridges has been like the same. Like, I feel like a lot of guys you expect to improve because they're young have kind of just been stagnant, which is why I'm giving them that D plus.
Honestly, that's valid. That's valid. Talk to me about Portland.
Yeah, Portland. I'm like when I'm seeing the Portland, I will say that I had them, doing pretty bad. Like, I had them maybe even out of the playoffs, play in even. And they are sitting at the 10th seed right now. But Damian Lillard did miss some time. Gary Payton still hasn't played yet.
Think Gary Payton made his debut recently,
Oh,
actually.
did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm liking this team. Damian Lillard has been a absolute positive. B plus. I'm giving them a B plus. Their standings aren't where you'd expect them to be, but they started out the season red hot. I think Dame has proven that he's still the second best, if not maybe third best point guard, because Kyrie Irving has been playing so incredibly.
I'm Morant too.
Ja Morant. There's a lot of guys, but Dame.
Luka.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm calling him a point forward.
Okay, fair enough.
But anyway, I think Dame has put himself back in that conversation. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people doubting Damian Lillard because he'd missed so much time. And he's like, hey, I'm here, guys. You can't ignore me. Jeremy Grant has been wonderful for them. Josh Hart, Shaedon Sharpe, the rookie, has been playing big for them. I mean, they've been asking a lot of him. And I wouldn't say he's necessarily like done exceptional, but he's been doing his role. So I'm giving this team a B plus because I think they've done more than some people expected, including myself.
I'm gonna give them a B. This is exactly where I had them to when I predicted it at the 10 seed. Right now, they're sitting right there. They started the season really hot, and now they've sort of regressed to the mean. As you said, I like Shaedon Sharpe a lot. I think Dame has played great. Anfernee Simons, his progression is something to be really noted. And I like a lot of their pieces. I like Josh Hart. I like Yusuf Nurkic. But I mean, they're just kind of playing exactly where we expected them, just a kind of a mediocre team in the league. So.
Yeah, that's fair. What about you think of the Sacramento Kings?
Kings, I gotta give them a B plus, or even honestly, I'm gonna give them an A minus as well. I think that they've gone far beyond our expectations, sitting at the 5 seed right now, 3 games above 500. There's life in Sacramento once more. This is a team that's actually gonna be a legitimate playoff contender, like fighting for the playoffs. Whereas, they used to be the biggest joke in the league. So I think the whole Beam team has come around and has reinvigorated the fans in Sacramento. I love what they're doing there with Fox and Sabonis. And I'm just, and I think guys like Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk bring a lot of energy to this team. So I got to give them an A minus.
Yeah, I'm going to give them an A. I mean, I feel like of all teams' expectations relating to their positioning right now, I mean, sitting at the 5 seed, people probably thought of them as being a fringe play-in team. But Sabonis has been playing great. I mean, I'm very high on Sabonis as always, but this is a great year for him.
Sure.
And, De'Aaron Fox has been doing his thing. I mean, just Keegan Murray, we can't understate how well he's played for them. Just filling in that the small forward position for them. Davion Mitchell, again, all their young guys have been improving steadily, and their veterans and role player, the guys who aren't young have been doing what they're supposed to do. And I mean, above that, obviously, because to sit at the 5 seed, I also like the culture that they're building there. I think Mike Brown and, like you were saying, the Beam team, like that's like a really cool inventive thing. Like they're trying to find ways to get the city of Sacramento to win their hearts again, because obviously they've been laughing stock of the league for a while. And like that whole thing, like with the chain, like the best player of the game kind of deal. Like that's like a you know
Yeah.
they're just like they built up something really special over there. And I think this is the team that like Tyrese Haliburton and like other guys have talked about. Like that lack of culture has always been in Sacramento, and they maybe have finally found it.
Agreed. So moving on, San Antonio.
San Antonio, this has probably got to be the worst of the bad teams for me, just because they don't really have a young core whatsoever. I mean, they have like
Keldon
Keldon
Johnson,
Johnson, but that's it.
Jakob Poeltl, Poeltl.
Jakob Poeltl isn't even young. He's like 28.
Okay,
So, I mean,
fair enough.
okay. I mean, they have a lot of young guys. Like, they have Keldon Johnson, Jeremy Sochan, the new Dennis Rodman.
He's like, no,
I
I
know.
feel like he's disappointing.
I know. But anyway, my point being that like they just don't really have anything to work with. I mean, yes, they are the 14 seed, which is where you'd expect them to be, but they have nothing they're looking to. I'm giving them my first D for the bad teams, just the
I'll
worst of
give
the
them a
bad
D
teams.
D2 for the same reasons.
Yeah, this isn't a team that we need to talk about a lot. Sorry
Yeah.
for you Spurs fans out there.
Raptors,
The Toronto Raptors.
I feel like I gotta give them a C. I think that a C plus. I think that, relative to the expectations we have for them, which was a team fighting for the play-in, could maybe sneak into the playoffs, but is really not too much going on in Toronto. I think they're sitting right there. I think this could diminish significantly if they blow it up. And this could be a team that we see tanking. But as of right now, 17 and 23. There's been a couple of bright spots, like Siakam has looked great this season. Yeah, that's kind of it, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
So I'm
that
gonna
is
give them
really it.
C. I'm gonna give them a solid C.
Yeah, I think a C is also appropriate. I think that like they don't really have any young guys to improve too much. They just have like their role players and the guys who've been there for a while, and their team has kind of just grown out of contention very similarly to the Miami Heat. And this is a team that needs to make some moves soon. So, I mean, just a C, but they're not nearly in as bad of a position as the Miami Heat, because the Miami Heat were a team that we expected to be like in the conference finals, whereas the Raptors haven't really had any expectations for playoff success.
All right. Now our penultimate team, the Utah Jazz.
Well, no, we.
I said penultimate.
Oh, penultimate. Yeah. Sorry. The Utah Jazz, just a very strange team to rank, because
Yeah.
they started out the season as like the one seed in the West,
Yeah.
and now they're down to the 11 seed. But I'm gonna give them a B, like very like for a tanking team. Like they started off, and I was like, what the hell is this team trying to do? Like obviously they're not gonna end up as the one seed or a playoff team at all. But I'm gonna give them a B because I think they've obviously averaged out, and they're gonna keep going down. And in the same way that the Pistons are trying to sell Bogdanovich, this team's trying to sell Jordan Clarkson, this team's trying to sell Mike Conley. So I see what they're doing. I like they have some young guys who are pretty cool, like Lauri Markkanen, an absolute positive for them. He brings them
Yeah.
a letter, for sure. Your guy Johnny Juzang over there, he's on the roster. He's not playing, but he's there. And Talen Horton Tucker, former Lakers over there. Colin Sexton, can't forget about him. He's been
Walker Kessel. Don't forget about Walker
yes,
Kessel.
Walker
He's been great.
Kessler as well. So yeah, what I'm saying is I think they have a lot of positive pieces. Obviously, they started out very strange, but I'm gonna give them the B.
I think B is a valid rating. I think, yeah, like they're kind of playing where we expected. I mean, they started the season way beyond what we expected, and now they've sort of regressed back to it. And there's been a lot of great like things about this team. I think namely Lauri Markkanen playing at like he's probably gonna run away with this most improved player award. So yeah, I would give them a B.
Yeah, and the last team to talk about, for those of you who are still around after listening to us talk about every team in the league, is the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, so I think Washington, I'm gonna give them a D plus or no, a C minus. I think that there's just not a lot to be excited about in Washington. Sure, Beal, Kuzma, and Porzingis, like that's like the most mid big three I've ever heard in my life. They just put up like 20 points a piece each night and just lose games. Their young guys are very uninspiring, like Corey Kispert. I couldn't even tell you who they drafted at number 10 this year because he's been kind of irrelevant. And they've just kind of drafted dud after dud.
Was it, I'm trying to remember, was it Johnny Davis?
Yeah. See, that dude's literally like has a 2K auto-generated
Yeah.
name. Like, that's a guy you find on the end of your bench on one of those historic teams because they don't have the rights to all the players. Like, J Davis, number 95. But regardless, I think that this team's been just flat out like boring, uninspiring. There's nothing going on in Washington.
Yeah, I would say their young guys and like Denny Avdija, Rui Hachimura, like those young guys have just been average. Like they haven't really improved at
Yeah,
all.
who's taking the
Same,
jump there? Nobody.
yeah. Daniel Gafford has been the same way. Corey Kispert, like you were saying, I mean, like you were saying, another thing. Kuz, Bradley Beal, Porzingis. Like, you know, they're gonna come, they're gonna score their 20, 25 points each, but just
The
play no
mid
defense.
three. The mid three.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give them a C minus because I felt this like this was a team last year. They had a very similar roster, and they were the one seed to start the season. Not saying that that was like where they were gonna end up, but then Bradley Beal went down and they lost a lot of games. But while Bradley Beal was there and while they were healthy, this team was the one seed. So coming this season, I was like, look, they don't have like the neatest or the best roster, but I still think based on what they did last year, they could be a like higher tier play-in team, and they're definitely not even at that. So I'm gonna have to give them that maybe C minus.
That's valid. And with that, that's every single team in the NBA
This is a whole
mid-season
ass
ranking.
YouTube video.
Jesus Christ. I think when
Yep.
we do this again at the end of the season, we're either gonna just talk about like a handful of teams or break this up into two separate episodes because this was a marathon. And so for those of you who are still with us, thank you for listening. Wow, what an episode. This is probably our
Yeah.
longest one ever.
Maybe. I mean, last episode, didn't we have like an hour 20-minute one?
This might be an hour 30, I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
But
wow.
regardless, thank you all so much for listening. And we will see you next week with probably a shorter episode than this one. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Take care.